Mighty, we are recording.
Hey everybody, it's my birthday.
Happy birthday, Amanda!
Woo! This is my birthday song. It isn't very long.
Oh, that was the worst rhythm I think I've ever demonstrated. Sorry about that, everybody. I came ready too. My dad used to, or still does, I think, for every birthday that he encounters. They say it's your birthday.
Na 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 na.
It's my birthday too. Or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then I came unprepared. Oh, but happy birthday. Has it been a good one so far?
Yeah, I took the day off work, so it was great.
You got a facial.
And I got a facial. My first facial.
Ever?
Ever.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
What one did you get?
Vitamin C?
Oh.
I don't know.
I went in last time thinking, I mean, I can count on one hand how many facials I've had in my life. I can count on three fingers how many facials I've had. And I thought, okay, they're just going to like deep cleanse me, you know, maybe clean out any weird pores. And immediately the lady who was older than I am was like, ooh, we need to switch it up, girl. You are older now.
We
need to go to heat sensitive and like, you have very sensitive skin to like heat. And so they couldn't do the steam thing on me. They couldn't do all this. And then I let myself get suckered into the diamond tip dermabrasion
thing. Oh my gosh, that must have been so expensive.
But I felt awesome. Well, my mom had given me a gift certificate.
Yeah.
And so then I just basically paid an additional amount like I didn't have a gift certificate. And it was awesome, but it's like a once every 5 years
Yeah, exactly.
experience. So I have to go in and go, please shave 5 years off my life.
I'm jealous of people who can afford it all the time, though. It did feel really nice.
I'm glad you got pampered.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Well, if you are new, we will get to our topic eventually. We just always start off saying hi to each other. We're besties. And then we have a segment we call What's Haunting You,
mm-hmm.
where we share something that's been haunting us from the week. So what's been haunting you?
Well, I'll spare all of y'all the details because I just told Amanda. But I have like what's haunting me in a good way. Like what I've been spending a lot of positive energy this week is doing stop motion animation with little kids.
Oh,
it's
fun.
The best. Introducing kinder and first graders to the magical world of stop motion animation where they get to make inanimate objects come to life is the coolest. It blows their tiny minds. They cannot believe it. And no matter how many times I model it, they still can't do it themselves yet. But they'll figure it out. And it's just so awesome to just watch them pair up with each other. Well, I choose their pairs for this because I want them to mix it up. And mm-hmm. sometimes when you're too comfortable with your partner, you end up just goofing.
Yeah.
As you and I know.
Yeah.
And so I pair them up and every single class so far has just been like, not even a question. Like, yep, okay. They go to their partner. They film their movies. What take turns being director and actor. And they're doing human pixelation this week. So where they make it look like a human is doing something impossible. And it's just magic.
These are great challenges for the kids. It's like artistic and it's teaching them technical skills and
problem
really
solving,
cool stuff for
collaborating
them.
It's just awesome. It's the best job on the planet.
You're a good teacher.
Thank
you're
you
a good teacher.
Thank you.
Okay, what's haunting me is I was at a equity training this week and the trainer said something to me that's been haunting me all week. I've been thinking about it. She taught us about the concept called responsible, not my fault. As one mm-hmm. phrase, responsible, not my fault,
mm-hmm.
which means there are things in your life that are not your fault that happen, but you're still responsible for them in some way. So, for example, it was an example at work would be you are walking down the hall and you see garbage on the ground. It's not my fault. I didn't put the garbage there, but I am responsible for helping make sure that the building looks nice and
mm-hmm.
I'm taking care of it, setting an example. So I'm still responsible for picking it up and throwing it away. And just that phrase, just as a teacher and a mom, it's been popping into my life like multiple times a day, right? Somebody's alarm doesn't go off and they're like, it's not my mm-hmm. fault. It's not my fault. Right. It's not your fault. Maybe it is, but it's
right. Who else is setting that alarm?
But you're still responsible for, like, you know, arranging what you need to get there as on time as possible and communicating and apologizing. And you're still responsible for, like,
mm-hmm.
you're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if maybe that resonates with people somebody who's listening, that you can kind of look out for that in your own life.
Yeah. It's really helpful with kids for mm-hmm. sure. Is and ourselves, but I think it's a good way for kids. There's so much passing of the buck. Like, I didn't do it. It wasn't mine. Yes. That's not me. Well, first of all, half the time or more, it is.
Right.
I watched you drop that on the floor. Right. Please pick it up. I didn't drop that pencil. I know, but it's right underneath your seat. Could you please pick it up for me and put it away?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think responsible, not my fault is a good lesson to keep in your back pocket.
For sure. For sure.
Cool. Well, I like that, too. Was it done yet? Was that the presenter? She's in Georgia?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, she's great.
It was fantastic. You've had the same training?
Yeah, probably 3 times.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
She's, my first time.
She's nice. She's very knowledgeable and cool. Was she in person or Zoom?
Zoom.
Yeah. Okay, well, this week is Amanda's turn to tell me a story that I may or may not have ever heard about. So
right.
She's got a smile on her face. Well, I'm excited.
I don't know if
you're always excited.
We'll see how today goes. Today's topic is very cerebral. We're going to have to get pretty thinky and put your smart
heart. It's only Tuesday. I should have plenty of brain left.
I'm also switching it up because, you know, usually I like to tell a story about somebody who's had some kind of experience. But this is different. We're going to kind of talk about a topic.
Ooh, that's kind of like what I like.
Yeah, so I'm switching it up a little bit.
Okay.
We'll see if you like it.
And then I'll come at you with a personal story from somebody next time and we'll blow everybody's mind.
And I have to apologize. It is my birthday and I usually work on these like during the day, but
I'm glad you didn't do a thing.
No, I mean, I have something, but it's not as organized as I would like. So we're going to follow through it. And
well, it'll probably be just like one of my stories where I spend days and days on it. And it's still, it's like I just threw up on the computer.
I love it. Okay. Have you ever had a coincidence happen that felt too impossible to be a coincidence? Or like the timing was too perfect.
Like deja vu?
Kind of.
Because I get deja vu every once in a while.
Well, we're going to talk about...
I don't know about a coincidence. I've seen my own doppelganger.
That's wild.
Yeah, I'll tell you that story sometime.
Yeah. Okay, well, today we're going to talk about a psychiatrist named Carl Jung.
Oh, Jung. Or Jung.
You know Jungian, him?
Yes.
Jung?
Yeah.
What do you know a lot about him?
I used to know more because I have a master's in marriage and family therapy. So right. The Jungian philosophies and practices were something that we had to read about, if not practice ourselves.
That's really cool. So. I didn't know he was part of like modern studies because mm-hmm. I find him really fascinating and I didn't know that he was.
I mean, you still even, you read about and you learn about Freud. So
yeah.
Like there's still Jungian and Piagetian and Freudian and
yeah, okay,
lots of them.
Cool. You'll have a lot to contribute. You can kind of.
Well, we'll see, because I don't know if I could tell you exactly what he was about until you remind me of some key words and phrases.
I want to talk about Carl Jung or Jung. It's spelled with a J, so but I guess it's pronounced Jung because he has a lot of writings and research and thoughts about something called synchronicity. Synchronicity. That rings a bell for you, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like the reoccurrence of events or a lining up of events that, like you said at the start, are just too trying to turn our heaters back on, but I don't know if I can. That are just too
I'm sorry for the editing you're gonna have to do.
Oh, it's okay. Oh my gosh, let's just pull out all the stops, all the bells and whistles. Go, car radio, go.
How about,
can somebody call me or text or start a podcast on my podcast?
If it's your first time listening, we record in the car while my daughter's in dance class.
What was your first clue? Okay, hold on now. Stop it. Okay, I just want to turn off the car so we don't hear the engine, but still have seat heaters. Is that possible, car? No. Funk. Okay, well, I tried.
We're talking about synchronicity. Synchronicity and Carl Jung. Carl Gustav Jung was born July 26th, 1875, in Kesswil, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
His father was a pastor.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. And his mother came from a family with mystical interests.
Interesting.
I don't even know what that means, but that's what it says on Wikipedia.
So tarot or crystal ball gazing, or
seances,
dowsing rods,
seances.
Yes, because that was, when was he born?
In 1875.
Okay, so this is post-Civil War, where there was a huge spiritualism movement. So this is where there was so much. Civil War was one moment that this happened. There's been periods of time in history where there's been mass loss in American life. And so then people are just mass sudden loss of like a lot of young people, for example, like in a war. And so then they're turning to something desperately to maintain contact or proof of the afterlife. And spiritualism is where seances were born from. And
yeah.
Table tapping and all this stuff.
Interesting. Okay. So he's got kind of two different really influential. I can't speak.
I wonder how his parents came to be together.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he has this dual influence of like a religious but distant father and an emotional woo-woo kind of mother. This is how he grew up. And that had a significant impact on his developing worldview.
Yeah, I bet.
I bet. So yeah, I can imagine. He often retreated into his imagination. He had a very vivid dream life. And when he went to college, he studied medicine and psychiatry. One of the most pivotal relationships he had was with Mr. Sigmund Freud. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that. You knew that. I didn't know that. They had a strong bond.
Where everything with Mr. Freud is a your mom joke.
I know.
Or that's what she said. Everything ties back to sex with your mom.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Freud. Whenever I read about him, it just seems like a joke to me. It's
yeah. He did have some pervasive or the ongoing ideas that have stuck and like I can get behind, but mm-hmm. so much of it is just tied back to Oedipal complex and stuff like that.
Yeah, but Jung was interested in Freud's work because Freud was also studying the unconscious.
And they lived in the same part of the world.
Were they both in Switzerland?
Freud's German.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe he's German.
Just over the Alps, I guess.
Yeah.
Freud saw Jung as like a younger heir and hoped that he would continue his intellectual work. Like he would be able to pass on that intellectual work to him. Kind of reminds me of like Willy Wonka and Charlie.
Giving him the chocolate factory.
Giving him the chocolate factory.
Here's my psychiatry practice. Aren't you excited?
Don't mind the little men, the little orange men.
I'd like to explore the psychiatry behind why you have all little people hired for you. Fair practices and all.
Well, unfortunately, Lindsay, their relationship went sour.
What happened?
They just had different, as Jung was developing his theories and Freud was developing his theories, they went different paths.
They diverted.
They diverted. Like okay. Two trails diverge in a yellow wood kind of.
Yep.
So Freud was.
In a yellow wood?
That's from a poem, but now
no,
it's like Robert
but
Frost.
But is it a yellow? It's Walt Whitman.
Walt Whitman, too.
But is it a yellow wood? What's a yellow wood?
I don't know.
It's two.
Now I gotta look it up. Two roads diverge in a yellow wood. Two paths. And I.
Yellow wood?
And I, being of something, took the one
I
less travel.
I took one less travel. Yellow wood?
What's the name of the poem?
I don't know. Let me look. It is a yellow wood.
Hey! What? Amanda for the win. Birthday girl. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood.
So, okay.
And read it. And I, being of...
And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
That's I think the it's the last line that I remember, the very end. Yeah.
No, you remember the first line and the last. You remember the very first and the last. Very last. You put them together. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And I just remember two roads diverged in a wood.
Cool.
So, wow. Good work, Amanda. That's my favorite type of poetry. I love Walt Whitman.
Yeah.
He's great.
I love Stephen Crane. But
that's kidding.
Like
that's Robert Frost.
Robert, that's
you
a,
were
right.
That's right.
A double birthday win.
Holy crap. I've always attributed that to Walt Whitman. I'm
Frost.
So sorry, Robert Frost.
Okay, so Freud and Jung had this wonderful father-son kind of relationship. but they fell apart. They fell out of sorts with each other because Freud was adamant that it was sexuality that was the primary motivator of human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And Jung totally disagreed, and he believed that conscious unconsciousness had a broader range of forces, including spiritual ones.
Hmm.
So they parted ways, and Jung began his own journey developing analytical psychology. After they broke up, it was really hard on Jung. It was like a kind of an upheaval for him. It really affected him like a breakup would.
Hmm.
But ultimately, it led to the creation of his own psychological framework. And he wrote in his autobiography, I'm going to have you read just this quote from his autobiography here.
Okay, so from Carl Jung and the Concept of Synchronicity. I had to leave him, not because I wanted to, but because I had to. I was convinced that I could no longer work under Freud's domination because our views were too different. Oh, and that's from Memories, Dreams, Reflections, page 136. Okay.
This time when I used
domination. Wow.
I know there's. It almost sounds like there's
that's
some
like
story
you,
there.
When you grow up, like a truly like a father son thing, where you grow up and you realize you can think for yourself, and you don't agree.
Yeah.
With the sort of the value system
mm-hmm.
of your parental units, and so you just gotta leave and cleave.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So he's on his own now, and this is where he really firmly develops the concept of synchronicity. So he is the early 20th century, and synchronicity, according to Jung, is the meaningful coincidence of two or more events or phenomena that are not casually related, but appear to be connected in a significant way. And we're start thinking about things that maybe have happened to you, because I'm going to ask all of our okay. listeners and everybody to think about moments when synchronicity happened to them.
Okay.
These events of synchronicity, they have like a deeper, almost spiritual meaning, and they can feel too perfectly timed to just be coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and here's what's cool. Oh, this totally ties into the telepathy tapes that we've been obsessed with.
Okay.
So the concept of Jung's exploration of the unconscious, he believed in the possibility of a shared universal consciousness.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, I did not know that about him. That's awesome.
That didn't come up at school? Like, what did they teach you?
I don't remember that. Well, that's the thing is, I don't really even remember. I'd have to go through his framework and see which part of this were we trying to apply or learn about? Because I don't remember the synchronicity bit. I definitely don't remember the, like, collective consciousness bit, because I would have been like, yeah, that's my dude.
I know.
Or maybe I wouldn't have, because that was a different time in my life.
Right.
But I think I would have been really drawn to that. So I don't remember that. We probably just focused on his relationships and how people relate to one another.
So I'm going to now tell you some examples of synchronicity coming up in people's lives. And you can be thinking of something maybe that...
Okay. Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm okay. chewing on it.
So one of the most famous personal experiences that Jung had, he had a patient who came to him and was extremely skeptical of him and all of his things that he believed, which I don't know why you would go to a doctor anyway if you're feeling that skeptical.
Except for a challenge. That's weird. I'm going to pay you even though I don't believe in anything you do, you flim-flam artist.
Exactly.
Take my wallet.
I knew that's what she said. We need to call people flim-flam artists.
Oh, it's the best. I heard... I've been tossing it around in regards to our president because I listened to Stacey Abrams' podcast, mm-hmm. Assembly Required, and it's great because it just lays out what's going on and what the impacts might be on the American people and how we little people might, little things we can do to mm-hmm. help. And she is an amazing politician and incredible lawyer and just awesome, but she's like, he's a flim-flam artist, where it's like, a little over here, look over here, look over here. But now I've got this in my hand. And yeah. Da, 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 da. He's just like...
And he's got so much going on.
He's a charlatan.
Yeah. Yeah. So this woman did not trust or believe in Jung, but for some reason she comes to him. And he's working with her and trying to get her to open up. And he shares with her this story about a golden scarab, which is a symbol of transformation and renewal mm-hmm. in Egyptian mythology.
Mm-hmm.
As he's telling her the story, at that exact moment, a beetle, which is like a scarab, flies in through the window, sits on the windowsill, and is just like sitting there staring at this woman.
Cool.
So he writes about that in his journal, but it was so uncanny. The coincidence was so uncanny to the patient that was her breakthrough method. That was her breakthrough moment where was like, oh, okay, maybe Jung is onto something about the universe and shared consciousness kind of being a part of our experience here on the planet.
Hmm.
Yeah. So here's another quote from Jung.
So yeah, anytime you have that moment of like, did you just see that? Did that really just happen? And then we're like, no way. I mean, that happens to us all the time. It
happens to us all the time. And it's like what happened with the tarot reading in our last episode.
Well, and every time we guess what each other's going to talk about. Yeah. This time I couldn't have. Alrighty. The coincidence, quote, the coincidence of the scarab with the emotional situation of the patient had a profound effect on her. The emotional state was lifted by this symbolic event, and she was able to open up in a new way. Aww.
Huh.
That's really cool. I mean, I remember working as a therapist, and so much of it was, I mean, it felt sometimes like a hope and a prayer, or a whistle and a prayer, or a throw a dollar in the fire and hope for something better. I don't know. Just there was a lot of like, I don't know what's going to stick. I don't know what's going to break through. But I ended up writing my thesis on the power of vulnerability. It was the moments that my clients would break down and cry, that catharsis moment that would, or that moment of emotional vulnerability would be a catharsis a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It was a huge turning point in their life.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and I had, most of them had nothing to do with it. Like, they would come to me sometimes. The very first one was a big emotional breakdown. Or other times we'd be meeting for 12 weeks and it would be the 13th week where something would snap, probably or possibly a synchronous event happened, maybe that triggered that response, and then they just happened to see me that day. So, but there was always a major shift after like an emotional cleansing.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that there's an emotional piece to the synchronicity that Jung is describing. It's not just a random thing happening that seems out of place, out of coincidence, but it's also that emotional feeling that you have where you're like,
you recognize
really
it, as
recognize
trippy.
It and feel, yeah.
Yeah.
And feel drawn to it. It can be, here's another example. So my mom, whenever I see a pine cone, I think of my mom, because I have a really funny story. My mom used to collect pine cones and get them from, like, she'd mail order them, and she'd make these beautiful wreaths, like Christmas wreaths, out of pine cones. Well, one day, I'm sitting in my high school, Capitol High School, Olympia, Washington, sitting in the classroom, and somebody goes, "Hey, Amanda, isn't that your mom out on the lawn?"
She was gathering
she was
pine
out,
cones.
My mom, who's my age now, right? She was my age. I can't even imagine. She was like right outside the school window, bent over in like her sweatpants, picking up pine cones on the school grounds. And all my friends were like, "Oh, your mom's out there. What's she
okay,
doing?"
Well, I'm going to burst your bubble though a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is the science nerd in me.
Okay.
We don't have pine cones here.
We don't have pine. Well, what was she picking up?
Fir cones. From fir trees. Pine trees are up in the mountainous region.
Okay. Well,
because
I didn't know that. I always thought they were pine cones.
And the way I remember that is somebody, and I don't remember who told me the story and who it was about, but I do remember that, like, that's how I'm always going to remember. Was somebody gave their, said, told their son or their child, "I'll give you a nickel for every pine cone you pick up out of the backyard." And it was just, the kid was like, yes, because it was just littered.
Yeah.
Picked up every single one, brings bucket loads in. And then they're like, "Well, it doesn't look like you made anything today." What? Yes, those are fir cones. And this is why it's important to know what you're doing.
Well, that's good. Now I know. Thank you for the info. Yeah.
But yeah, and you've talked about maybe wanting to get a tattoo at some point.
I do. Well, she would also order pine cones because she would order them. That's why
she would order them, is because she couldn't get them here.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've been wanting to get
them. So she maybe used a combination of fir and pine cones.
It was and all kinds of cool, like, tree cones from, like, other
she
parts
was
of the world.
So rad.
And they were really pretty. She was fun. But so my mom has passed away, and here's the synchronicity piece. So there will be times in my life where I'll be talking about my mom or thinking about her, and then a pine cone will just appear. Maybe I turn a page in a book and there's a picture of a pine cone, or maybe I
she's just like,
it's on the TV, or not only is it a weird coincidence, but it's also got that emotional reaction in me. So I think that's a good example of a synchronicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I think that it's got a broad range of definition, but you could put
I think a lot of people can relate to the feeling of getting some sort of sign from a deceased loved one.
Yeah.
In the form of a cardinal bird or
butterfly,
yeah. Dragonfly, hummingbird, those kinds of things. I know my mom listens to the podcast. So, hi, Mom. And also, she's always loved hummingbirds, but she uses the Spanish word colibrí. And so when she passes away, I'm totally getting an awesome rad watercolor hummingbird tattoo. But I suspect that she's going to send me hummingbirds every once in a while.
Right.
Which I hope you do, Mom. That'd be hilarious and awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah. Do what you can. Start planning now.
Yeah. I think these synchronicities can be really like special and magical. And
I'm going to send dolphins to my kids, which will be a little harder.
That'd be a little harder. It could, like with the pine cone.
But
it
pictures could be a picture. Or images. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you are new, if you're listening and this is your first time hearing about synchronicity, for me, the first time I heard of it, it was like kind of like a shift in my experience in the world because I was more aware of synchronicities after learning about it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll see what I'm talking about and then you need to report back to us. You'll turn off this podcast and you'll start to see things that are like, whoa, that can't be coincidence.
Yeah. Or like if you have a favorite number. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, like, my favorite number is the number 33, and I don't know why, but it's always been my favorite number ever since I can remember, and I will see the number 33. It's wild how many times that number pops up, but then there's also that phenomenon of when you're in the market for a certain car, all of a sudden you see those cars
everywhere.
Or a hair color or, you know, something that you're considering and you're studying, you're researching, the universe will just like make it pop off the page everywhere you go. And I don't know if that's part of synchronicity or if that's just a hyper awareness due to whatever your decision you're trying to make.
I don't know. Maybe there's some crossover between the two.
It's fun though. I love synchronicity.
I do too.
There's a movie called Synchronicity, isn't there?
Is there a rom-com?
It sounds like it would be a Sandra Bullock one.
Wait. I have to guess. I think I know. It's John. Who's the guy who held the radio up in your eyes?
Oh, the classic John grand Cusack, gesture.
John Cusack. And I'm going to do it, Lynn. It was the girl who was in all those vampire movies who's really pretty. Kate Beckinsale.
Oh.
Tell me if I'm right.
I'm looking.
It's my birthday, so I'm on fire with Robert Frost and everything.
Hey. Okay.
No. Then edit it out if I got it wrong.
Unless there's a different synchronicity. So 2015.
I'm thinking of maybe it's called Serendipity. Will you look up Serendipity?
That's Serendipity. Yeah. Yep. And I think I'm thinking of Serendipity too, actually. But there is a movie called Synchronicity. A physicist who invents a time machine must travel back to the past to uncover the truth about his creation and the woman who is trying to steal it.
Okay, but so is it's that like a synchronicity? Doesn't seem like it kind of aligns. That what you just read doesn't really align with.
Well, Carl, I mean, that was just the one sentence synopsis. I guess it's hard to.
Well, we'll have to watch it.
Yeah,
let's watch it.
It's intriguing, with actors I've never heard of before in my life. Oh, except for Michael Ironside. Oh, he's so creepy.
Can I see a picture?
He's in 6888, which I just watched. Have you seen 6888? Oh, you gotta watch it.
What's it on?
It's on Netflix. True story of the first and only black all-women's battalion.
Oh, wow.
In World War II. And yeah, and what they went through and what they did.
I do need to watch
that. Yeah, it was amazing. But a story that I was angry I had never been taught. Never even heard of it before.
Cool.
I watched the Netflix series.
I have one more example of synchronicity to share. And it comes from our...
I mean, as many as you got.
Well, do you remember that documentary that we both loved called Hellier?
Yes.
If you haven't seen Hellier, if you're listening, you haven't seen Hellier.
It is bananas.
Go to Amazon Prime and watch it. There's two seasons. It is incredible. And part of why it's incredible is there are all these synchronicities that happen as they're like, they go on an adventure, kind of a paranormal mystery adventure investigation. That's how it starts.
Yeah.
It doesn't end that way because they follow this trail of synchronicities and they end up in a whole different adventure than they thought they would be on when they started. But there's this tin cup in the documentary. There's a tin cup, just an old, like, you know, a tin cup that your Campbell's soup comes in.
Like for camping.
For camping, a little tin cup. And it, this tin cup, it's not the same cup, but they keep running into tin cups along their journey.
Weird. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. In a really weird synchronicity kind of way. So they'll be, for example, it kind of becomes a clue.
Like they're on the right track.
Like they're on the right track. So they'll just be out on a hike or whatever, kind of lost, kind of like, where do we go next? I don't know. And then they'll see a tin cup. And
that's so bonkers.
And they'll follow that. And then they'll have like this incredible paranormal experience. They'll talk about it. They'll investigate it. And then a little bit later, they'll run into another tin cup. Or they're, isn't that crazy?
So bizarre. I forgot all about that.
Yeah. So there was a lot of symbolism with the cup. And it just absolutely extraordinary circumstances that it pops up in. I definitely recommend. Anyway, that was pretty much my story of Young. If you want to know more about him, like, he went on to get married. He had 5 children with this woman named Emma. And he thought of her as a great confidant. And she helped him with his research. However, he had other mistresses on the side.
No!
Yes. One of them was named Toni Wolff, who was one of his collaborators and intellectual partners. So she was like the secretary you're having an affair with who helps you at work too. And he said a bunch of those. And he's quoted as saying, I was always aware of my need for a woman's presence.
Okay. Like, me too, buddy. But I'm not sleeping with him. Like,
you know.
What?
I don't like that.
It doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It sounds like he's trying to be, like, flattering of the female species and, like, appreciative. No, you have objectified them.
He's,
because it's not about relationship to you. It's about you just, when you want to have a woman around, when you want to touch a woman, there better be one right there at your disposal.
And then he can excuse it off like, well, I can't be intellectually brilliant without one, so...
Well, that's probably true.
That excuses my affairs because I just always have to have a woman with me.
Dummy. What a dummy. So small. So small. So caveman. I want to look and see his framework real quick.
You can see his framework. Yeah, it's some, maybe something that you could, I guess people study him, like you said, in college. So that's cool. He also was really into traveling. He traveled extensively to India, Africa, American Southwest. And like on those travels, he's learning about and comparing religions, mythology. He's like really fascinated by all the cultures he encountered. And he integrates elements and symbolism of all their philosophies into his theories. He kept working until his health declined in the 1950s. And he passed away in 1961 at the age of 85. And his legacy is pretty enormous.
Yeah, the two things I remember are about projection and individuation.
Well, thank you, Carl Jung, for all these awesome insights that we still use today and think about. You're pretty cool, other than the affairs.
Well, and I'm going to look and see if, just to be safe, was Carl Jung problematic beyond, obviously, just as if these affairs weren't enough. Oh,
do you want to share the negative
first
stuff?
Word I see, racism.
Oh, yeah. I assume that's...
I like to just give a well-rounded sort of, you know, if we're saying thank you, Carl Jung, I also want to make sure that we...
Don't thank him for that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, like all these videos, was Carl Jung an anti-Semite? Carl Jung's outdated beliefs about race? Carl Jung was a bad guy?
Oh, no.
Was Carl Jung a Nazi sympathizer?
Well, this episode is not really to glorify him, but more of his...
That concept of synchronicity.
The concept of synchronicity, because that's your homework. Your homework is to look for these profound coincidences, these synchronicities in your life, and tell us what they are, because we think it's a really fascinating topic.
Yeah. Yeah, where you're like, I call it the do-do-do-do moments,
yeah.
Where you're just like, woo.
That podcast comes out good.
That was fun.
Different than
different,
our usual
totally
one.
Different.
Class dismissed.
And don't open the door.